good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak, joining you guys for what is the first day of NFL football for the 2020 season. And, you know, fitting that this episode is brought to you by NFL Game Pass, because it is here the beginning of the NFL season. Ben, I am jazzed. I am ready. It is one game. And it's funny because after everything that has happened over the last like 6 or 8 months, the only football that we have actually missed out on so far, NFL football, is preseason, which everyone complains about anyways. But God, it feels like 10 years since the last time we watched a football game.
I miss preseason football so much. I miss training camp so much.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I missed it a lot, and then I was like, I really miss it a lot. And then the season came up, and I was like, yo, I missed it so much. And now that the first game of the season is here, I feel like I don't even know like what to do. Like, I'm out of practice. You think the players are out of practice? I'm out of practice.
It really doesn't. I hate saying this, but like, it doesn't feel like this is the first week of regular season football because we didn't get the preseason. Like, so many people are, they're like, oh, just abolish the preseason game, they're pointless. Now, I get it. Guys get hurt in the preseason, and sometimes they're really important players for the regular season, and that really, really sucks. But preseason, I feel like not having it this year, you realize the kind of element that it brings into the season. Not only I think that we're going to see from the product of guys on the field, but also like as fans, it's definitely a warm-up. That full training camp feel, those preseason games, getting to see how guys are playing. We didn't get any of that this year, and instead we're just getting right into the fire. We're like starting right off the bat, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be different this year.
Which, like, when we talk about our team's going to be good, no, not early. Like, as many people have brought up, 2011, the lockout year, mm-hmm. with also had limited training camp and limited reps there. I mean, the defense early was bad.
Yeah.
And that you should expect to see that again this year as well.
Defense is a lot about chemistry. You know, you got to work together. I think offensive lines as well. We've talked about that on this podcast. If you're returning most of your offensive line, if not all of your offensive line, you are already at a competitive advantage to teams that were bringing new guys in, even if they were upgrades. Like, even if they were players who you think, oh, wow, this is the right move. They really upgraded the O-line. This is really going to help the team in the long run. These first couple weeks, maybe weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, got to get it together. You got to gel. You got to gel with this group. Well, what we do on this podcast, if you are new to this podcast during the season, is that Ben and I, every single Thursday, run through all of the games that are coming up that week through Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, and we preview the matchups with a little bit of a betting feel to it. So we'll give you the lines. We'll tell you who's favored. We'll take a look at each team's, and then Ben and I will eventually pick a winner. At the end of the year, we will tally everything up, and we will have a grand champion of who knows the game of football better. Ben, do you remember who won last year?
Me.
No, I don't think it's true.
Nah. I don't remember, but I'm just going to go and guess that it was me.
Nah. It was your boy.
By how much?
I don't remember. I think, didn't I wipe the floor with you at the end of last year?
I mean, like, I remember pivoting to, like, contrarian bets for the sake of trying to games on you.
That made that last Thursday a lot of fun because you had to try to mentally convince yourself and the listeners that you believed in some of the picks to try to catch up to me. But no, I believe I won last year, so I am the reigning champion here. This is what we're going to do every single Thursday for the next 4 months. I'm very, very excited about it. Ben, you ready to get it going?
Houston Texans outright in the upset, baby. No.
Houston Texans at Kansas City Chiefs. This is what's kicking off the 2020 season for us here on Thursday night. Chiefs at home, the defending Super Bowl champions, favored by 9.5. The line opened at 9.5. I believe that's just where it is still right now. Yes, so it stays at the spot that it opened up at. No action, no changes. Ben, what do you think about this matchup?
I mean, so it's really cool to have the two you know, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. There's been a little bit of writing actually over the course of this week about the friendship there actually. And like, you know, like Mahomes is basically texting Watson, giving him updates about his deal. And then Mahomes is like, you're going to get a deal. And Watson's like, yo, I'm going to get a deal. And Mahomes like, I'm so happy for you. Cause these guys are buddies because they were both drafted after Mitchell Trubisky. It doesn't matter. And then obviously
is that the bond? Like everything else that they could have been through in their NFL life. And it was like, yo, we're forever entwined because we were drafted after Mitchell Trubisky.
Right. And that's, you know, so it's the same draft class. So obviously when you're in the same draft class, you come up with these guys through a lot of stuff. Like Sam Darnold and Josh Allen became such good buddies because they were, you know,
both drafted in front of Josh Rosen. Yeah.
Yeah, they were actually, but also because they were both, you know, training at the same facility. Right. And so you end up like getting to know these guys. They were in the same area. Right. They're both California kids, regardless. Moral of the story is that two really, really good quarterbacks, and typically with a really, really good quarterbacking situation, you're getting 9.5 points. You're kind of looking at that as intriguing. I don't want to bet against Kansas City. I also don't want to bet against Kansas City right now when Houston just put Gerrion Conley on IR. They don't have a good corner room. I don't see how they're going to run with Hardman Hill and Watkins at all. Everybody's very excited about what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is potentially bringing to Kansas City. I think if Houston's got a shot in this game, it's going to be on the back of David Johnson running the football and playing the best defense against Patrick Mahomes, which is keeping him off the field via time of possession. But even then, as we know of Kansas City, they also don't sit on leads. They're likely to build out a lead as well. So, you know, the last time these teams played in the playoffs, Chiefs won by like, what, 27? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'll take Kansas City 9.5.
Yeah. I'm going to go Kansas City as well. And when I looked at this line initially, I was like, man, with a COVID offseason, I'm not going to pick a team to cover a 9.5-point spread. But I am for Kansas City because I think the continuity of the team that went on a big run at the end of the year to win the Lombardi Trophy is still there. And like you said, I think that Houston's calling card is a lot of what they do on defense. It's relying on Deshaun Watson to help them out and carry the load on offense, but it's really to control the game on the defense side of the ball. I think that even with a lot of the cornerstone guys still there, the secondary is a little nicked up, as you said, and it's just going to take longer for defenses to adjust on everything that's going on this season. So for that, I'm going to bet on the best offense in the NFL towards the end of the season last year to start out of the gate hot. I'll have them winning by double digits. I'll go with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Miami Dolphins at New England Patriots. Patriots at home, favored by 6.5. This is Cam Newton's debut as quarterback. This game opened up at a 7-point spread, so not a ton of change, although the Dolphins did get a little half point in their favor here. Patriots at 6.5. What do you think?
Feels like a trap. I mean, like, what do we know about either team?
That Ryan Fitzpatrick can pull out any game at any given time.
Right. We also know that Miami just wins games they should not win against the Patriots, right?
That's a divisional team. But I think the divisional argument means less for opening round games this year because there's still a lot of unfamiliarity. Like, you don't even know your identity nearly as much as you thought that you would on a normal season. So you can't expect to know the other team, even if it's a divisional team well, because we've talked about it before here. Look at all the losses that that this Patriots team has had. Obviously, Tom Brady is the big one, but Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, all those guys opting out of the season. Like, we don't know a lot of what they're going to throw on defense. We don't know who they're going to emphasize. And, of course, Cam Newton being the big piece on offense that's just going to control the game and a guy that touches the ball every single snap. So I do think that the Dolphins win a lot that they're not supposed to win, but I don't know if I could just give it that whole, like, it's a divisional matchup, like, anybody can win this game. I'm not so sure if that exists as much this year.
Right. This is Miami offensive line horrible. And the Patriots have a defensive line that doesn't have like a dedicated real pass rusher. I guess, you know, Chase Winovich, if you're calling him a starter.
Josh Uche, situational guy, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's in the sense of like, you know, when they put those starting guys out there, it's to defend the run. And then the New England receiving core, just dreadful against a Miami secondary that's now boasting Byron Jones and Xavien Howard.
Yep.
I'm gonna go with my gut here, even though I don't like it. I'm gonna take Miami plus 6.5. I think that this is close. I think that Belichick, for as good of a coach that he is, Josh McDaniels, for as good of a coordinator as he is, first game with Cam, big turnover on the defense, especially with the opt outs. Miami being a well coached team, but Patriots are a well coached team.
I'm going the Patriots, so I don't know. I don't know if that sways you one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we disagree on the first one. It didn't take us very long to disagree on one, which is good. I feel like we agreed a lot last year. Cleveland Browns traveling to the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens at home. What are they favored by? Favored by 8. Ravens are favored by 8. This opened up at 8.5, so a little bit of a half point swing there for the Cleveland Browns. What do we think here? Ravens, one of the strongest teams in the NFL, bringing back the league's MVP in Lamar Jackson. But as we went over earlier this week, when we went through our wins and losses of teams, you're a big believer in the Cleveland Browns. I believe in them as well, not as much as you did with them making the playoffs, but here this is a tough one to start the season.
It is. You can't bet against the Ravens on this line, even with divisional opponent, even with Browns better, because of the stability in the team, in the coaching staff, as we brought up, you know, previously, the Ravens, almost a Super Bowl caliber team, almost an AFC championship playing team. They don't lose an offensive coordinator. They don't lose a defensive coordinator, right? There's no brain drain, despite the significant improvements on both units.
The brain drain. I don't know why I like that.
Brain drain. right. They lose Earl Thomas, which I think is a big deal, but that offense is still going to be insane. I do not think Cleveland has the athletes in the second or the third level to handle it. Let's not forget that this is a fairly weak linebacking core with a lot of young bodies starting, and then a team that just added new safety, Ronnie Harrison, because of the injury that they had to Grant Delpit. I don't see how they deal with the running ability, the second level manipulation that you're going to get from the Ravens, both scheme and talent wise. So I think the Ravens hanging on them. But, you know, Browns beat the Ravens last year. They might have their number.
Yeah, I think there's a chance for this game to be competitive. But just going off of, we're going to repeat this point a lot, with a lot of uncertainty, the Ravens win because they control the game so well. There's not a lot of high risk to what they do. The reason why the Titans were able to best them is because, as you mentioned earlier this week, hey, they got a couple of, I don't want to fully say lucky plays, but they got ahead of the Baltimore Ravens and forced them to play an offensive game that they're not as comfortable with. Ravens instead, they're at home, they're open in the season. I think they're going to control this ball game, and I think that that's going to lead to more than an 8-point win for them, unless Mayfield just really totally goes off for Cleveland and starts the season on fire. I think it's much more plausible that instead the Ravens, is one of the best rosters in the NFL, control this game. They've got some new guys on defense in the middle with Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, those guys. We'll see what their snap count is like and how much responsibility they have in the middle at the linebacker level. But stout on the defensive line, stout in the secondary, even with the loss of Earl Thomas. I like Cleveland, but this is certainly a game that I had them dropping. I'm going to go Baltimore as well here. New York Jets. Did you have the Jets picking number one overall when we did the win loss?
No, you did.
Oh, I know I did. I know I had the Jets picking number one overall.
I was like, what are you talking about? That was you.
No. I couldn't remember where you had them. Did you have them like
three?
Okay, I was going to say, they had to be at least like top three, yeah, I'm sure. Jets traveling to Buffalo. Line is 6.5. What did it open with? 6. Obviously in favor of Baltimore. Baltimore. The Bills, the home team. Bills get an extra half point here on Thursday. It's got to be a Buffalo Bill. I'm taking Buffalo. This one's easy for me. I have the New York Jets as, let me check my notes here. Fan it through. Yeah, one of the worst rosters, if not the worst roster in the NFL. I'm sorry, Jets fans, but you're going to hear that a lot from me this year unless they start to really turn around and I got to eat crow about it. You guys are going to be draft fans really early on, and I think that this week is one step in the direction towards being draft fans for the New York Jets. Buffalo Bills, this whole season is going to really lean on how far Josh Allen can take them. What is the ceiling with this team with Josh Allen as their quarterback? Because if you look around the roster, they're strong in a lot of areas, and I really, really like this coaching staff. And so the way that they're built, I think they're built for a playoff run. I think they're built for a division title. I think they get going in the right direction here. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to start 1-0, and I think they're going to win by more than 6.5.
I don't really think you fanned through notes there. think that was a lie. So I'm a fan through the notes. Jets are a bad team. Didn't hear
it
any.
It was moving. Deception.
It was deception. I'm not going to put any stock in this Jets team. And I know I've been heavy on favorites so far, but we've had some fairly lopsided games as we've gone through this. I'm not going to put any stock in this Jets team until I have a reason to. I think Buffalo is a volatile team. I don't love laying points with them, but against the Jets, I feel comfortable enough doing it.
When you say stock, you say livestock? Is that what you're talking about? You talk about like putting livestock
in? Stock like on the market.
Put right. There. Okay. Yeah.
Trevor, well, maybe learn something.
To be fair, Ben, the original stock market was livestock because you were just trading livestock with people. Like that
Is
was
that
the
where
way
the name came from?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea. I was completely coming up with this BS off the top of my head.
Out here making claims we can't verify.
I'm just out here being an idiot because I got to keep you on your toes during this podcast because sometimes you just get in your own little world and I gotta just throw something off to get you totally off the tracks.
Don't worry. If it's me correcting you on something, I will always be mentally present.
Las Vegas Raiders at the Carolina Panthers. Vegas on the road. Here we go. We got our first road Warriors. They're favored by 3 heading to Carolina. Carolina, a lot of changes. Quarterback, coaching staff, defense is young AF. Raiders, Derek Carr at quarterback. They infused a little bit of youth, I could say, on the offensive side with the passing weapons. I believe their two starting wide receivers are slated to be Henry Ruggs III and Bryan Edwards. What do you think about this matchup here? It's in Carolina, but Vegas is favored.
I'm in a fade Carolina position, having brought up the age on that roster, the turnover on that roster. Don't think Bridgewater is going to give them the necessary airing out that they need to be a high-powered offense, though I would love to see it. Right, and the thing is, like, oh, Raiders are favored in Carolina. There's no fans. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, the home field advantage. In some places on these lines, I wonder to what degree home field advantage has impacted the line at all. Because
travel, but yeah, I mean,
right.
Travel's kind of overrated, right? I mean, travel would have been more of a difference. I feel like in like the late 90s, obviously the 80s, maybe early 2000s, but these guys are basically living like kings, traveling like kings. So I feel like it's kind of not that bad if they don't have
fans. It starts to matter late in the year when we're talking about attrition.
Sure. Yeah,
right now, especially because like, these players haven't been allowed to go anywhere or do anything at all anyway. So I don't think that it's a concern early. I agree with you. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on the Raiders favored by 3. As I've said before, the Raiders are a team that I think is kind of interesting this year. And then Carolina is a team that if I have any faith in them, it'll be late in the year. It will not be early in the year.
You know,
too young.
I picked Carolina earlier this week, so I'm going to loophole it and say that Carolina wins, but the Raiders cover because I'm going with the Raiders here. See what it did there?
That's not possible, though, because Carolina's not favored.
You know what? Now that you say that out loud, I'm going back over it in my head.
You see, that's an interesting loophole you got there, Chief. Tell me more about your loophole.
All right, fine. I got to take Carolina. I'll take Carolina. Fine. Win it outright.
I'm just gonna loophole it real quick. Carolina's going to win. Raiders are going to cover. Yeah, okay.
I thought I was going to be so slick there. I really did.
Yeah, that's all right. Wasn't
even on
purpose. Next year, Chief.
Seattle.
I think I deserve a game. I think I deserve to start 1-0 because of this.
You might start 1-0 if you win one more game than me.
Man,
how's
Trevor,
that sound?
Not firing on all cylinders today, brother.
I am graceful. As a host. Seattle Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons. Falcons at home, which Ben said is a bunch of BS. Doesn't matter at all. Might as well play in a neutral stadium. Put a stadium on the moon. Seahawks on the road are favored by 2 points. So Seahawks at Atlanta. Seahawks got to cover 2 or they got to do it.
Yeah, I don't like how much chalk I've been taking, but I like Seattle to cover here. I'm low on Atlanta. I'm high on the Seahawks this year. Stability in Atlanta with a veteran quarterback gives me a little bit of pause. The Seahawks' inability to win a game by more than one possession also gives me a little bit of pause. But a 2-point line is fairly small, especially for a team in Seattle, which I think is going to be able to score points in chunks versus what you're going to get out of Atlanta, which certainly with Julio, Calvin, and Ryan, they could score points in chunks more, but they don't because of the way that Dirk Cotter calls that offense. So I think that you're going to see the Seahawks be able to control the game from the offensive side. It is worth monitoring what that Seahawks pass rush looks like, because they can't get movement against freaking that Atlanta offensive line, then brother, you know, this is going to be a problem all year.
Yeah, I think that this is a strong, I like the way that you put that there. I think Seattle's going to win, and I think they're going to cover. But I think that this is more of a how good will Seattle be kind of a game than anything. I'm not really doubting that they're going to win this week. This is more so, let's see how Seattle looks out of the gate, because this is going to go a long way into maybe me picking them throughout the entire season, because I agree with you. That's a big point. They didn't bring back Jadeveon Clowney. They've got to find out how they can get consistent pass rush on this team, or just at least disruption. I mean, the defensive line just has to be disruptive in some way, shape, or form. They bring Jamal Adams, never a bad move, strong at the linebacker level as well. So that's really the area where we're all looking for. I think the wide receiver core is still going to be strong with Russell Wilson. The defense, the pass rush, the disruption, that's the big thing. I think Seattle's going to cover it this week, though. We'll see how they how they deal with it going forward for the rest of the year. Guys, this season, get your football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every single snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, wild comebacks, breakout stars, every game, every single week. It's all the action, all the football that you could possibly handle in one place. And NFL Game Pass is also the only place where you can just replay every single game all season long. You're also going to have access to learn from the league's best players. They've got over 40, Ben, 40. Count them, 40.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
Game Pass film sessions available. You can go inside the game from the player's perspective as they break down their own game with concepts, techniques, all that kinds of stuff. NFL Game Pass also provides all the access to the entire NFL Films Archive library. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the Washington football team.
Go Birds.
Eagles got to overcome a 6-point line here in Washington. Ben, how do we feel about it? Road Warriors, right. You guys ready for it? You ready for it?
6 is more than it should be, but also I think they're going to cover.
What do you want it at? 3.5?
I just like, you know, the Eagles are really injured. It's come down from like 6.5 to 6, but there's a chance Lane doesn't play. And if they're out there starting Matt Pryor and Jack Driscoll against Matt Ioannidis, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, Ryan Kerrigan, and Chase Young, this could go backside up right quick. So the injury to Lane Johnson is something to monitor here. I generally don't want to touch this line because of the health concerns in Philadelphia, but the Eagles, lest we forget, the one game we saw of them with DeSean Jackson last year, they were hanging 50-plus yard bombs on this exact Washington team. I don't think the defense is any better in Washington. As a matter of fact, Fabian Moreau, Ronald Darby, Kendall Fuller as your starting corners is going to be bad against even the moderate talent that the Eagles have at wide receiver. And then they had total turnover on the left side of the line, losing Ereck Flowers and Trent Williams, putting in Jaron Christian and Wes Martin, the Indiana product, I believe.
Yeah, that's
at
name.
Left guard.
No, that could definitely be a football name. Yeah.
Yeah. With Haskins back there, bad pass protection really is going to throw a lot of wrenches in his process. He's not good under pressure. He's not good escaping sacks. So I do like the Eagles to cover. I think this is a multi-score win for the Eagles, but Rager potential injury, Lane potential injury. I mean, it's, you know, you gotta watch out. We got to be careful here.
I am worried because there's a lot of potential pressure on that pocket. You know, you already had the injuries to the offensive line. If Lane doesn't play, then that's bad. I mean, it's, yes. That's not good. I mean, we forget, like, Peters is good I'm not trying to slight Peter's career at all, but the dude was retired. Like, he was fully prepared to just be retired, and now he's being thrust back into a left tackle role. So even with him being out there, I know he's got the experience. He's the best option that they have available, but it's not the Jason Peters from years ago. And so I already had questions on Philadelphia's offensive line going into, and the over-under on this one's 42. There's only two games this week that have lower over-under bets. The New York Buffalo game is one of them, and then the other one is the Tennessee Titans Denver Broncos Monday night game. And so, six, almost a touchdown on a low scoring over under is dangerous. But new head coach, new offense coordinator, not a lot of passing weapons, young quarterback.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the Eagles finally this year, unlike the last games with Washington, have somebody who can cover Terry McLaurin. And it's like, all right, who's the second best receiver on this team?
Yeah, the second best receiver on Washington is going to be Steven Sims Jr. It's not like I think that he's a game breaker kind of a player. Washington, man, you don't know what their running game is going to be. And you could look at their running game and go, like, oh, Antonio Gibson, I really like him a lot. Okay, week one, like, first game of his rookie season, we like him a lot. I'll go with Philly. I think that this number is high given the outlook of the entire contest, but I've got to go to Philadelphia because there's too much change from Washington going into this season for me to think that they're going to really be able to control the Eagles, even with all the injuries they have. So I'll go the Eagles as well, even though I agree with you, six is a lot. Chicago Bears traveling to the Detroit Lions. Lions are favored by 3 against Mitchell Trubisky and Cole.
That was an interesting way to say 3.
3. I did exactly the same. There, happy?
Yeah. Am I talking now about the game?
That's, you know, it's, yeah, this is normally your cue.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that 3 was also my cue.
You got to read the script beforehand, man. It's highlighted right there. Ben, big caps, colon, you're up.
Am I betting the Bears here? Like, is this really a thing that's happening? How certain are we the Lions are better than the Bears? Like, where are we getting 3 points from?
I think that the Lions are better than the Bears. I think week one games are a lot more of a toss-up than we're caring to admit.
Right. Like I said, I don't like how much chalk I've been taking in the first place. And here with projected no home field advantage, terrible defense in Detroit, good defense in Chicago, terrible offense in Chicago, middling offense in Detroit. Do you think Detroit's going to try to run the ball 900,000 bajillion times?
Well, they have enough running backs to do it. So
yeah, I think everybody who's really stoked about the Matt Stafford, you know, offense is going to be really disappointed when he throws the ball 26 times and that's it. I'm taking the Bears plus 3 here. I have no inclination on this game. I'm just going to take the underdog here.
I was going to get trendy and take the Bears, but I want to be different from you in a couple of games at least. And I think we're only different in one.
We're only halfway through.
Whatever.
Chill out, brother.
I'm still not picking the Bears. I'll go with the Lions to overcome the 3-point line. This one could be close, though. This is one of those games where I look at it, I'm just like, I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, neither team is good. Both teams are going to have reasons that there's absolutely no, like, there's both going to be cases that you should never bet for either one of these teams. So it's
yes,
just like, okay.
Yes. This is a game that I would stay away from. You know, if you are looking at this podcast for betting advice, probably more so of Ben than me, but I would stay away from this one. I would definitely stay away from this game. Indianapolis Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are Vegas's number one odds right now, I believe, to have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, which means that their season probably is not going to go very well. They spent the offseason getting rid of Ronnie Harrison. They no longer have Yannick Ngakoue. Man, the shades of what was that Jacksonville 2017 team are long gone. It's basically Miles Jack. Is that it? Is it just Miles Jack? Is he the last
Miles
one?
Miles Jack. No. DJ Hayden? Yeah.
I mean, DJ Hayden was what, the nickel corner on that?
He's a good 2017 nickel. Team? No, he nickel was like, is the new base, Trevor.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll give you DJ Hayden.
Avery Jones was probably still on that 2017 team, but he was a rotational guy.
Not a lot left. They basically tear that bad boy to the studs, and then that's not a good thing. Indianapolis, I think, is a team that you and I both believe in. They're a trendy team to not only make the playoffs, but win the division. 9 points, lot of points, but I'm still going with Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis is just clearly the better team in basically every way. I think that they need to get this season off on the right foot. They need to show that they are a dominant team, not just a marginal team, because the Colts were in a lot of close games last year. They finished 7-9, but they lost out on a lot of games that were within 7 points. And I just think the script needs to be a little bit different here from Indianapolis, in that we talk about this, the good teams have to win the games that they're supposed to win. There's a lot of games in the NFL that are going to be highly competitive, but there are sometimes throughout your schedule going to be games where you've got to go, yes, I get it. They are pros too on that other sideline, but we are winning this game. We are just, like, we have to win this game. If Indianapolis is going to get to the 11-12 win team that we think that they can be, I think it starts with really beating soundly these worst teams. The division's a good place to start. I'll take Indianapolis to cover the 9 points here.
Nine's too many for me, man. I mean, yeah, like, Jacksonville's not going to be good. Indy's probably going to be good, but how certain are we that Indianapolis is a good team? We're not. Like, new quarterback, assuming that Rivers is going to be more than he was in Los Angeles, putting a lot of – we're having the bad wide receiver core in Los Angeles, the bad offensive line in Los Angeles, do a lot of work to justify Rivers being a little bit shaky over the last couple of years. Also, not for nothing, because Rivers we've never seen outside of L.A. to this point, but – the Chargers under Rivers were not a team that built multiple score leads over bad teams and held on to them. They were a team that was stupid and let games get within with single score and had Rivers have to pull things back from the abyss in the end of the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I don't. When you consider that with the fact that I think with Marlon Mack and with Jonathan Taylor, this team's going to run the football a fair bit, I do not see a team that's likely to build out a multiple score lead and maintain the multiple score lead, especially when I think that the Jacksonville offense with Divine Azigbo put on IR, Ryquell Armstead currently on the COVID list, and Leonard Fournette traded. Yeah, James Robinson's their early down back. Shout out James Robinson. You were a big fan. Illinois State, Shrine Game, whatever.
Well, yeah, he was a big stand on the Shrine Game.
Yeah. I think they're going to come out slinging the pill. I think they're going to get a lot of touches to LaVisca, a lot of touches to Chark. I think they're going to be able to put some points up on a shaky corner room in Indy. So I take Jacksonville to cover.
Okay. All right. We're different in that one as well. Green Bay. Packers going to Minnesota, another divisional game. Minnesota Vikings favored by 2.5 in this game. Green Bay is a team that you and I have talked about before, is a team that's susceptible to reeling back from that 13-3 season that they were coming off before. Minnesota Vikings losing on Kevin Stefanski, but as you have mentioned before, Gary Kubiak's still there. Now he's taken over. Don't have Stephon Diggs, but they bring in Justin Jefferson. Still have BC Johnson, who was coming on last year as a guy that they
BC could, Johnson.
Rely on. No, Daniil Hunter starts the year on IR, but they bring in Yannick Ngakoue, so his presence is there too. Ben, what do we think about this one?
Again, like, I like Minnesota better than Green Bay, but to what degree are we certain that Minnesota is better?
To what cost?
I don't know what that reference is. To what degree are we certain that Green Bay is a better team, that Minnesota is a better team than Green Bay? Are we 2.5 points certain? To me, why this is a pick 'em. There's no home field advantage for Minnesota. This is a neutral field game. Aaron Rodgers?
Heard of him. Mm. Where did this game start at? What was the line?
All rookie corners?
That was a 3-point line. So, yeah, this was never close to a pick 'em.
Right. I'll put it to you this way. I think if this game were a pick 'em, I would take Minnesota. But if I'm getting an edge somewhere, I'm going to take Green Bay. Even for believing that Minnesota is the better team, I don't have nearly enough confidence in myself to say Minnesota is a field goal better of a team. Like, you know, if you play this game 100 times, enough times for me to make that bet. So this is a stay away line for me. But if you're making me take the pick, I'm taking Green Bay, because I think these are evenly matched teams with about which we don't have enough information yet to say one is definitively better than the other.
Is biggest matchup in this game Hughes versus Davante Adams? Like, is that just, like, what is going to
well,
be the telling tale of this game?
If you're getting Hughes, right, you depending on where you put Adams and depending on what they want to do with Hughes, because Hughes is their nickel in base set, in 3 DB sets, excuse me, you get Holton Hill, Cam Dantzler, from what I understand.
Oh, is that the plan on what they're going with this year?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Right, that's the thing is, like, we don't, like, even let's say they have Hughes mirror Davante Adams. That's an advantage, Adams. And then if it's anything else, you're going to get Adams at times against Cam Dantzler or Holton Hill or Jeff Gladney, kind of depending on however they distribute those snaps, because nobody really knows yet. And that's a nightmare situation for Minnesota if those guys aren't ready.
No, I'm going with Green Bay as well, simply because even if I think that Minnesota controls most of this game, because I do, I agree with you. I think that Minnesota is the better team. We picked them to win the division this year. I think as the game moves on, even late in the fourth quarter, you have one of the best quarterbacks of all time who has unbelievable chemistry with one of the best route runners in the NFL right now, Davante Adams, against a cornerback group that is losing more than 2,000 snaps between the guys that played both on the outside and the inside last
year. Feels like it might be a lot, Trevor.
Minnesota. That is so much experience that you were losing. And even if we get Mike Hughes, like you just said, against Davante Adams, how much are we getting that in the game? How much is Matt LaFleur and that Green Bay offense going to try to manipulate getting him off of him? And then even with these, if he's on there, what's the success level? He's never like handled a guy like Davante Adams right off the bat. So I got to go with Green Bay as well because of the fact that I just never think that Green Bay is going to be out of this game ever. And so with that, I'll take the 2.5 points. If there is anything that this podcast stands on, and I really wish very badly.
Oh my gosh,
that
I said
this earlier.
I should have said it.
Is that one rule on this podcast is that you always, always take Aaron Rodgers when he's getting points. We got many rules on this podcast, and that's one of them. I don't know if we have
Rodgers is 22-18 against the spread as an underdog.
As I said, always. Always. Los Angeles Chargers traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. Hollywood, Joe Burrow making his NFL debut as not only the starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, Ben, but a captain. They voted Joe Burrow as captain.
How could you not?
I mean, if he was the same kind of demeanor guy that he was at LSU, then yeah, it's a no-brainer here. But for him to exude that kind of confidence, I hope that this is truly an earned captainship here, because that would be telling of the kind of Joe Burrow I think that we're going to get starting right off the bat in the NFL. Now, he's going into the worst team. Right? The reason why the Cincinnati Bengals had the number one overall pick last year is because they were bad. This year, the roster is still pretty bad. But Joe Burrow's in there now. It's an important position. Guy who touches the ball every single play on offense. Chargers moving on for Phillip Rivers, as we talked about during the Colts blurb. Strong defense. Gus Bradley's still the defense coordinator there. They don't have Derwin James, but they still got a fearsome edge duo, some really nice corners. Do they have enough on offense to get it done, Ben? The Chargers are favored by 3 heading into Cincinnati.
I had the Bengals winning this game when we were going through season predictions the other day.
All right.
I have the Bengals still winning this game now.
Are you sure?
Like Trevor, I understand how the lines work.
Are you sure?
Yes. I have the Bengals covering 3. Tyrod Taylor against Joe Burrow. All right. I'm going to say a sentence.
Hopefully.
Bengals have the better quarterback in this game. I like Tyrod, but even for a rookie, I think that Burrow's going to give you more. So
it's spicy.
With Mike Williams out, I mean, the wide receiver cores are not equivalent, but they're kind of close. Keenan Allen plus Joe Reed, KJ Hill against, you know, AJ Green, hopefully healthy, T. Higgins, Auden Tate, Tyler Boyd. Like, it's an advantage there. Bengals offensive line is not good.
No,
Sam Tevi. Yeah, I mean, like the Chargers offensive line is still bad, right? Sam Tevi is still out here starting for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we traded away Russell Okung. So I think the Chargers offense is bad. I think the Cincinnati offense is bad, but I think the Cincinnati offense is going to have some juice to it. So I expect them to win the game or at least cover the 3-point spread.
I'm with you here. I picked this as one of the games that the Bengals would win. I love Anthony Lynn as a head coach, but I'm not the biggest fan of the Chargers' outlook this season. I think there's too much that could be flip-flopping, including what's going on at quarterback. I think the Bengals get it done here. They start off 1-0. It's a fun little storyline. They got to lean on Joe Mixon, though. I think Joe Mixon's in for a breakout season. They got to pound the rock. They're going up against that cover three defense, so you know you're going to have the easy stuff there. You run the ball well. If Joe Mixon can stay effective there, if Burrow can hit the easy underneath stuff, then as the game goes on, maybe early in the second half, he'll have his chance to take those shots. And I think the Burrow's definitely going to be looking forward to that because that's what he did so well when he was at LSU. He was also one of the best quarterbacks in college football when pressured. So even though the Bengals' offensive line isn't that great, as long as they can hold up against the run, I think that Joe Burrow is going to have a chance to take his shots here. I'm taking Cincinnati.
This might be, this might be a Bengals podcast fairly quickly, man.
Will it?
I would love to see it.
Just pound the rock, baby. Mainly pound for my fantasy team. Mainly for my fantasy team and Joe Mixon. Just needed to pound the rock. Ben, what about pounding the rock auto?
Wow.
What about pounding the rock auto?
Pound the Rock Auto. We should come back to them with a branding, listen, marketing, ad read, Pound the Rock Auto concept.
Folks, when it comes to the Bengals wins, they got to pound the rock to get it done. And when it comes to your auto needs at home,
you could drive a truck through this hole, rockauto.com.
You got to pound the rockauto.com because they have been establishing the automobile run game.
Oh my God.
For more than 20 years. This is a family owned business. Guys, everybody out there has auto needs. What, someday, whether it's right now, 3 months, 6 months, couple years, you're going to have to get something done with your vehicle. Whether it's an upgrade that you're looking to do, whether it's a fix to get you back out on the road, rockauto.com can help you. They've got an awesome catalog, tons of parts that you can easily navigate and see no matter what make and model you have. If they don't have anything on the website, which rockauto.com, pretty easy to remember there, you can give them a call. You reach out to them, you can email them, send them a comment in the comment box and just be like, hey, this is happening with my car. I think it's this, but I'm not exactly sure. These guys are the experts. They can help you out. They've been doing it for so long, 2 decades. They've been doing it for over 2 decades. And so they're going to be able to help you out, get you back on the road or get you exactly what you want. Head over to there and you, whether you're buying something or not, if you wouldn't mind, if you reach out to them, whether it is by phone or email or the little comment box and just saying like, hey, Locked On NFL Draft sent me over here. Really appreciate those guys in their podcast. We think you guys are great. Thanks so much for helping me out. But like, that's how I found rockauto.com. That would be really great for us. That would help us out a lot to keep the on-air lights on. They've got an incredible selection. One of the biggest online selections I have ever seen. Great customer service. And the best part, reliably low prices. You can always depend on those three things over at rockauto.com. Arizona Cardinals. San Francisco 49ers. Niners, they have the offensive genius in Kyle Shanahan, but a depleted passing corpse as of right now. 49ers, though, still favored by a touchdown over the Cardinals. Could be an exciting year for Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Ben, do they have enough firepower to keep up with the NFC champions?
This is the toughest one for me. Looking through, I've bet a fair number of these games, and I just don't want this one. What do you think? I will make the case for whatever you don't choose.
Okay, 7's a lot of points. I like Arizona. As we were going through our playoff predictor, I had Arizona reaching 9-7 at points in this year. I think at one point I had them at 10-6, but I had to go through their schedule and I kind of had to reel it in because it's fun to believe in this team, right? Especially when you look at the receiving core. It's DeAndre Hopkins. It's Larry Fitzgerald. They've got Christian Kirk. They have Kyler Murray. They've got Kenyon Drake now in a starting running back role. But the offensive line is not nearly what it needs to be a team that's going to win that much. Now, we're obviously talking not talking about winning 9 games in 1 week. We're just talking about 1 week, but this is a tough opponent. However, you look at San Francisco with the guys that they have or don't have out there, this is a competitive football team. It's a really good coaching staff. It's a strong defensive line still, even without DeForest Buckner. Jimmy G, quarterback for the 49ers. He's not going to light the world on fire. This is a team that was obviously run a lot through, or had a lot of success through running the ball. They still have Mostert. They still have those guys there, and hopefully they're getting Jerick McKinnon back. to make up for the loss of Matt Breida, who they moved on from this offseason. All of that to say, I'm going to take Arizona. Give me Arizona getting 7 points. Let's have some fun. Let's unleash Kyler with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's going to be a massive upgrade for them on the offensive side of the ball for them to keep up with a lot more teams and get a couple more wins than they did the previous season, even though I don't love how they are on both the offensive trenches and defensive trenches. I'll take the 7 points here. Let's have some fun. Give me the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, yeah, so San Francisco 49ers favored by 7. What we forget about the Arizona Cardinals is that the defense is horrible and they didn't do anything to improve it.
They drafted Isaiah Simmons.
Okay, Isaiah Simmons, as a linebacker, safety, should be terrified of Kyle Shanahan. There's nothing Kyle Shanahan loves more than just making linebackers look like total idiots. And Simmons is going to be what? In a traditional box alignment, reading heavy play action out of 21 personnel and having to react to crossing pattern play action. When did he see that in college? Who showed him that? This is a different monster here, different ball game in terms of his reads. It's not like, you know, if you were going up against a spready, shreddy Kansas City offense, he would know. It would be more familiar intuitively, visually, what is happening to him. This is not going to be like anything he's ever seen. I don't think that his role is going to be great for them. I think that, you know, Buda Baker is probably your best shot for that intermediate hole player. But even then, this is too dangerous. I acknowledge that San Francisco's got wide receiver health concerns. We don't know exactly who their starting setup is going to be, which is one of the things that worries me.
Sorry, I was a little late on this. I'm just thinking through the roster. Do we think that they're basically just going to have Isaiah Simmons guard George Kittle, like try to just like handle him?
I mean, if they do, Kittle's going for 150.
Well, I guess so.
That's the thing. The thing about Simmons is that, like, for everything that he was coming out, I liked him a lot, had a very high grade on him. He's far from a perfect coverage player. A lot of it is what you think he can be eventually as a coverage player, not what he currently is as a coverage player. So, first game of the season, I don't expect him to be a super high impact coverage guy.
Maybe I'm too warped by my Madden season that I just played the first year of, in which Isaiah Simmons won like Rookie of the Year.
You already played a year of Madden?
Dude, I've already got like 3 seasons under the belt.
How?
I don't work.
Oh, that would explain why you do a podcast every day. Defensive line.
No, in reality, I just don't get a lot of sleep.
Right, yeah. Defensive line, very little improvements there. Corner, we still have Byron Murphy out there as our second corner, which I think is going to be he's going to continue to get better, but right now he's still somebody that you can target. So I think the San Francisco offense is going to be able to put it out on the field. With Arizona, you're basically looking at how many big plays can they get in the air to hang around. They just need to be extremely explosive in the passing game. And one of the things that has recently been talked about with Kyler Murray is how reliant he is on the deep ball, how reliant he is on explosive passing, and how his intermediate, middle of the field, you know, kind of more consistent, more reliable, not necessarily chunk gains, but still first down gain passing is not there. It's not up to snuff. And that's a big thing for him to work on in year two. So I think with the Niners still being able to generate pass rush against a bad offensive line, even with the wide receiver injuries considered, it's going to be able to beat the Cardinals by more than 7. I don't love it though.
This is an interesting week to once again find out where the emphasis is on great coaches, right? Mm-hmm. How guys were prepared during the offseason, how coaches were able to do it with no preseason, limited stuff that they were doing in the summer with mini camps and OTAs and all that stuff. There is definitely a chance that just the best head coaches are just going to shine in week one, and that's the bottom line, nothing to it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the New Orleans Saints. Massive matchup here with two teams that we expect to be contenders in the NFC for not just their division, but also the NFC Championship. New Orleans is favored by 3.5. It's in the dome. So when it comes to home field advantage, like even without fans, I feel like playing in the dome in New Orleans means something just because of the overall setting of it. Can the Bucs or can the Saints overcome the 3.5 points against Tom Brady and the Bucs?
Yeah, right? Like you yourself who said, like, all right, Tampa's probably good, but this is still going to, you know, they're not at the Saints level yet.
Sure. Right. I'm taking New Orleans. I'm taking New Orleans to cover this game, especially because Mike Evans has a hamstring injury and he might not play. So,
oh shoot, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, like that immediately impacts this game. And like, I think New Orleans wins probably more than 3.5 anyways. I think it's going to be competitive. I think it can really be back and forth. But, you know, going to New Orleans and beating New Orleans in a crucial year and a crucial way to start the season, yeah, Tom Brady's capable of that. But after a COVID offseason, you know, like after no preseason game snaps at all, just practice, brand new team for the first time in 20 years.
Practice.
I've got faith in Tom Brady, but as I have said many times in this podcast, I think this is a next year thing for the Buccaneers. I think that their year is really next year to strike. And because of that, I think you're going to see them drop some of these really important games. I think that this one in week one's one of them. And I'll say that New Orleans wins by more than 3.5 at home.
All right. March on, Saints. Yeah, I think I like looking at this, I also think to myself, okay, I think Tampa's going to be a really good team this year. I have more faith in Tampa to be good in year one than you do. But I would also like to believe it, see it before I believe it fully.
Sure.
One, two, the Mike Evans injury, I think, is also an extremely big
deal.
Huge.
Because, it's huge.
Yeah, this is a good Saints secondary, and they're going to be able to put a lot of attention on Chris Godwin, because if there's anywhere that Tampa's weak on offense, besides tackle, is wide receiver depth, and no Evans really.
Wow, the Scotty Miller slander.
21, baby.
Unbelievable.
We stand. But either way, he's still wide receiver 3. Justin Watson is wide receiver 4. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I don't love Justin Watson as the depth on this team. Sunday night football game, the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams. Cowboys, the road dogs. They're favored by 3. I guess not road dogs. She just said road warriors. They're favored by 3 here against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, two teams that the books perennially overvalue. Or
Holy crap, the over-under is 51.5.
Yeah, there's going to be some points.
Wow! This is the highest over-under of the week.
It's the only one above 50, if memory serves.
Yes, it is. The next closest is Seattle, Atlanta, 48.5.
Right. So, yeah, like I said, two teams that the books perennially overrate, especially when it comes to weekly performance. So something's got to give here. To me, this is a Dallas spot. I don't like Dallas secondary. I do think that the total is appropriately priced high. I'm not sure that they're actually going to meet that total. The implied score of this game is like 27-24, I think. So it is a hefty game, but I think the Cowboys are worth 27 points. It's a question for me whether or not the Rams offense, no Brandon Cooks, Malcolm Brown starting, still with a poor offensive line, is going to be worth that many points, even against a bad Dallas offense. Would love to see the Sunday night game be a high score, really get things amped up, but I do believe the Cowboys are worth enough offensive firepower that you can take the -3.
I'm going Dallas as well. I just think Dallas is too much a better team. I'm not a believer in the Rams this year, as was evident by our win-loss episode in the NFC, where I have the Rams finishing last in the division this year. I'm just not a believer. I think that this one's just, you know, you could look at the matchups all you want. I think across the board, Dallas is more talented than the Rams are. Rams have the star players in certain spots, but Dallas, over the top to bottom of their roster, more talented team. They're going to win this game, and they're going to win it by more than 3. The two Monday night games. First one's Pittsburgh at New York. The Giants, New York Giants, that is. Pittsburgh on the road, favored by 6 points. So Daniel Jones is getting 6 at home to start the season. Is it enough, Ben, for you to pick the Giants over the Steelers?
No. Giants are bad.
You know,
there's like on a lot of these teams, I've said, we don't know enough. I know enough. Giants aren't going to be good. Steelers -6.
Out there in the world outside of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, they might be saying to themselves, we don't know enough. Ben knows enough.
I know. Giants are going to be a bad football team this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And when it comes down to the coaching point, we're talking about one of the best in Mike Tomlin. And then one of the most underqualified. Is that fair? That's fair to say underqualified, right? Head coaches in Joe Judge now with the New York Giants. They're trying to capture, I think Gettleman was trying to capture some of the magic of, hey, he learned under Belichick, as we've seen many GMs try to do before. But Mike Tomlin has grown his own success in this league for years and years and years. because he wins games like this. He comes out of the gate on fire. I say that, and then they were 0-2 last year with Big Ben. But now they get Big Ben, and they're turning the page. They're not going to do it again. I got the Steelers. They're covering the 6. Last game, Tennessee Titans, Denver Broncos. Titans are favored by 2.5 on the road. What was the line? What did it open as? This line open as? Oh, it just opened it. No, wow, the Broncos.
It opened with a slight Broncos favor.
The Broncos were favored by 2. Then Von Miller gets hurt. He's out for the year. It comes out that Bradley Chubb's probably going to be on a snap count limitation. Then it all of a sudden swings heavy towards Tennessee. Heavy. I say heavy.
When it's 4.5 points. At the time of the swing, it was around a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I believe when the Broncos opened with the favor was like quite a few weeks ago, and then the line's slowly been moving towards Tennessee.
That makes sense, because I wouldn't think that Von Miller's injury means 4.5 points. You know, like, Von Miller's incredible, but I wouldn't think his injury
shouldn't even mean 2.5 points, if we're going to be honest.
So are you picking the Broncos because they're at home getting 2.5?
Broncos at home is always free money early in the season because teams are poorly conditioned and are not accustomed to the elevation change. You got to remember.
You think that Mike Vrabel isn't one of those coaches that goes, we might not be the most talented team, but we will be the most conditioned.
I mean, in the context of this offseason, absolutely not, right? I mean, it's very difficult to do conditioning work. It's very difficult to do cardio work with a mask on.
I think he's got his boys running 6 feet apart, up hills.
Both ways.
In the mountains of Tennessee. With a cut-off sweatshirt, cut-off sweats, aviators on, and inside his mouth, he's got a toothpick, a mint, gum, and a whistle around his neck.
Everything. No, I just, on principle, you like Denver in early home spots. The fact that they're getting so many points for the Von Miller injury, which I understand, to me is unnecessary. I don't think Tennessee... Heavy surfaces, a lot of play action, is a team that you get a great pass rush against anyway, to be honest. I think that taking Denver in this spot, I think that Tennessee is going to be gassed by the end of this game. I think the Broncos are going to win it. So I like Denver here covering.
Didn't it just snow in Denver? Did you see that?
Yes, there was like snow and 90-degree weather. So Lord knows what's happening. It was the apocalypse.
90-degree. All right, hold on. We're checking the weather. I'm checking the weather. Hold on. Denver... weather. This matters. Denver weather, 10-day forecast. All right, so it's Monday night. Monday night, high is 78, the low is 53. So at kickoff, we're probably going to get somewhere in the 60s. Now I'll go with Tennessee. I'll be different. Oh, and the podcast being a little bit different. I feel like
I love it when you give me free ones. It's so nice.
I feel like we were, you say that. You do say that, and you say, I feel like you do say that often. And then I whoop your candy ass by the end of the season, and I got you reeling it.
Talk. For sure.
Trying to pick the New York Jets over the New York Patriots.
Okay.
That's all.
For sure. No doubt. Yeah.
First Thursday.
Yeah. No doubt.
Podcast of the season in the books. Joe, not Joe Marino. Joe is always the one who records the records every single week for us, and he is a saint for it. I have to shout out and give him one of the jewels in my crown of last year, because I would have had no idea that I beat Ben last year without Joe's help. If somebody in the premium Slack wants to do it as well, you can. You'll get a big shout out at the end of the year, and I don't know, maybe I'll buy you a Publix chicken tender sub. I owe Joe one for sure. I owe Joe something, or like 20 wings. For keeping score. So whoever wants to try to keep score for us, for who picked the games right every single week, let us know. Tomorrow, it is Fan Friday. We are giving it a theme, all right? It is week one of the NFL. You guys have got takes. You guys have got excitement, and we want to hear. We're going to be asking you to give us your takes, opinions, and questions that we can discuss about your favorite team in the NFL. We'll read it. If it's just an opinion, like if it's you saying like, hey, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, here's my take. I have the Broncos going 12-4. Discuss. We will do that. Or if it's a question, we will read it just as a question on the podcast. But we're going to give you more than an hour of straight NFL talk, getting you hyped up for this weekend. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.